Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Well, thank you for coming to my channel. So Charlie Kirk's memorial service has gone. Now apparently the funeral's actually not taken place. Gonna be buried in Phoenix, Arizona. I don't know when that's gonna happen. I mean, it's almost 2 weeks since his death. So this is about Charlie Kirk's views on guns, because his views were really just a checklist of MAGA talking points. And so there was, in a way, nothing surprising about Charlie Kirk. It was so predictable. It's almost though he never thought for himself. So, yeah, he formed an attachment to whatever it was, this worldview, whatever opinion, and then had to reverse engineer the reasoning to come up with some argument with some spurious plausibility. So anyway, and he said he thinks that some gun deaths are worth it. But it does beg the question, how many gun rights are worth gun deaths? You know, it's roughly 30,000 per annum in the United States. What if it was 100,000? What if it was 1 million? What if it was 10 million? Some gun deaths might not reach a level when even he thought it was excessive. And therefore, gun rights would have to be restricted in order to bring the death toll down. I mean, surely if you're a real gun nut, say, no, gun laws will never, ever work. And guns are never, ever remotely connected to the use of guns to kill people. And no level of gun violence would warrant the least restriction on guns, even if guns were to annihilate the human race. No, we must never abridge gun rights in the slightest. So the Second Amendment of the Constitution, yeah, so he was an outspoken defender of that. But, you know, we'll go into some of why this is specious. Obviously, it's not essential to American liberty or the Constitution or anything like that, because, of course, you had the Declaration of Independence, 1776, and the gun rights are not in that. And gun rights are not in the Constitution originally. The Constitution is only 1788. So the United States has been independent for 8 years before there's been the Constitution. And then the Second Amendment is not in the Constitution to begin with. It comes a few years later. So clearly, its cruciality is overstated. Otherwise, it would have been right there back at the beginning. And the firearms they had in the 18th century, those only had an effective range of about 100 meters. And you could fire one musket ball, take about 20 seconds to reload. So it's not, they didn't envisage what we have today, whereby people can hold down the trigger and be firing 10 bullets per second, can be of a range of a few miles in telescopic sights and so forth. The Second Amendment, if it was restricted only to firearms such as were available in the 18th century, then that might not be so foolish. So he thought it was a vital constitutional right. But, you know, rights come from people. Rights are made for people. People aren't made for rights. Of course, we have the right to change it. A bit like that First Amendment, as I pointed out, the First Amendment has been limited at times, maybe wrongly limited, to prevent peace activism in wartime, to prevent the dissemination of socialist literature in the 1920s, or information about contraception in the 19th century, or pornography, or all sorts. He's there, it says, for the protection of others. So he says that gun deaths are worth it. Well, now he knows whether it's worth it or not. Wow, he's been hoisting his own petard. That is poetic justice. And he opposed, it seemed to me, every type of gun control. Preventing children getting a hold of guns? No. Preventing mentally ill people getting a hold of guns? No. Well, he said it's because of mental illness, but why don't you then insist on a background check in every single state to make sure that someone, no one's got a psychiatric condition who's then allowed to get his or her hands on firearms? No. And so forth. What else? You know, that teachers should get guns in school. There'd be armed guards in school. There were armed guards in some of these schools, and some of these shootings took place in Trump's first presidency. Goodness, is something to have made the person can't have more than two guns? No. Something to make sure the gun has to be kept in a lockable cabinet so that only the gun owner can get a hold of it, you know, his children or whoever can't? No. Making sure people can't have military grade firearms. I mean, however you define that, is it the range, is it the rate of fire? No limitations whatsoever. Oddly enough, a lot of these MAGA rallies are gun-free zones. You're not allowed to take guns in there. Why not? And when the US military was there in Iraq, one of the first things they did was confiscate guns from people. But wait a second, the gun nuts are always saying that guns keep us safer. So that's applicable to Iraqis as well. This really is preposterous. If guns really reduce violence, why don't you give them to the people of Gaza? But you just said that guns reduce violence, so give them to the Palestinians. And arms in general, the Second Amendment said the right to bear arms shall not be abridged. Arms, it doesn't say guns. Arms, meaning weapons of all kind, knives, as well as guns, a bow and arrow, weapons that were subsequently invented, like horses of firearms were invented after the Second Amendment. So that would mean artillery, tanks, warships, warplanes, and a helicopter gunship, chemical weapons, biological weapons, nuclear weapons. So why don't you let the Iranians have a nuclear weapon if that's what they want? You just said it makes us safer. And some billionaires like Elon Musk, he could afford his own nuclear bomb. That would keep you safer, wouldn't it? What could possibly go wrong? And yet, nuclear non-proliferation has been a key plank of US foreign policy since 1945, a not terribly successful one, really striving to prevent the Pakistanis getting one, very displeased the Indians get one, trying to prevent the North Korean nuclear program. One of the reasons the Iraq war was the Iranian nuclear program, sanctions on Iran over their alleged nuclear weapons program, sanctions on Libya over their nuclear weapons program, which they ended, and so on. Strikes on Syria because of the use of chemical weapons and so forth. So this really is preposterous, totally illogical, and self-defeating. But where Charlie Kirk was right is gun rights, if you're going to have them, that will lead to gun death, and you have to accept that. Cars will lead to road deaths, right? Now, we could get rid of all cars. Now, I know we're not comparing like with like. A gun, when used as directed, kills a person or an animal. Now, you might say, yeah, but the purpose is ideally not to use it. It's to scare off the would-be felon, and then you don't have to use it. All right. But, in extremis, you do have to use it. A car, when used as directed, provides transport safely. You're driving within the rules of the road, wearing a seatbelt, under the speed limit, no alcohol in your system, and so forth. But, knives, are they worth knife deaths? Because inevitably, some people are going to be stabbed to death. I know it's fewer people. We can't really function without knives. We can't function without cars in many cases. Planes are worth, are they worth air crash deaths? If we're going to have planes, occasionally a plane's going to crash. Swimming, is that worth swimming deaths? People drown in the swimming pool or in the sea. So any activity or any item, well, or just about, is going to lead to deaths. Food is going to lead to deaths from obesity or choking and stuff like that. So, I mean, he is correct. If you're going to have an item, and almost every item is somewhat dangerous, then it's going to lead to some deaths. I mean, all right, cotton is probably not going to kill people, but just about everything else. So the difference is the guns are designed specifically for the purpose of killing people, where the other items are not. All right. So anyway, thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. I don't know, PayPal. GeorgeCallan7@gmail.com. Now, yeah, Charlie Kirk's memorial service and his wife saying that she absolves the killer. Well, that was magnanimous of her. Don't think I'd be able to bring myself to say that in like circumstances. And Trump, well, I've got to hand it to him for being honest for once, saying that he hates his enemies and does not want the best for them. I don't doubt what he said on that occasion. But wow, so obviously MAGA is keen to exploit this to the max. No doubt they will be able to capitalize on this. They're cunning, they're cynical, they're low, they've really got no ethical bottom line. Goodness. So that is Charlie Kirk, a truly vile individual who denied that George Floyd's murder was just that, who was always pumping out lies, claiming the police are trained to kneel on somebody's neck, who put out the lie that George Floyd died of a drug overdose. He certainly did not. So he was just a vile specimen. A very poor excuse for a human being, Charlie Kirk, just sick, disseminating odium. So I do not miss him. I didn't want to be killed. But the one thing he was right on is he did defend little children, and that is Charlie Kirk. Now he knows whether there's a God or not. A lot of these Christian loonies say, oh, don't be sad that your relative is dead. He or she has gone to a better place, has gone to heaven. Be jealous to want the person alive. So I suppose that's what the Christian nutters are going to say. Hello there, Alan Gibbon. Thanks for commenting. Start donating. Okay, goodbye.